Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and the horrors persist, but Pompon does keep the serotonin flowing. And with me, I have...
What a year, right? Lemon, it's March.
And...
Days are anything horrible, tragic, or just frustrating happening. Impossible.
Im-fucking-possible.
Can I not just get one day? One fucking day! I do not think that's too much to ask.
He asks, what's happening? And I say, yes.
Yeah, just look outside.
Yeah, take your pick. Yeah, take a bit of either bashing happening, whether it be on a global scale, or even something that's kind of small, but still like this could impact anything that you like or love.
I am getting dangerously close to fighting these people and just smashing them in the head with this cool keyboard I just got last week. Except this thing has RGB lighting, so I don't want to waste it. So I'm just going to find another keyboard to do it with.
It's too good for a cause like that.
Only $10, too.
Damn. But this isn't a podcast about keyboards. That's the Radio Dead Air Tech Q&A, I believe.
This is a show where we bitch about the world, though, so that counts.
And shitty music. But also talking about good music, so it balances out, you know, karma and all. I'm totally using that word accurately. Anyway, here we are, episode 425. How's everyone's lives been going?
Well, outside of everything, relatively normal. I'd say it was a better week than recent ones because I had a rare Sunday off, which I'm thankful for because apparently at my work there were some issues, like computers going down, power going out, elevators not working. I dodged a bullet, that's for sure. Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, things happen, which I'm very glad I didn't have to deal with. Let me go back here. I decided, you know what, I spent too much money on car stuff. I want to spend a little bit of my tax return on me stuff. So I got glorious physical media in my hands. Very cool things. I also got here, if I can get into the microphone, a big old 20 terabyte hard drive because I need to start ripping all my DVDs. There's not a lot of time left for these things, I fear, so I gotta get to ripping all of them and finding good ways to, you know, make sure they don't look like suck.
Oh, is there like also, the disk rot problem coming in?
Oh,
well,
that's
no,
right.
I haven't had to deal with that yet. Hopefully, I don't. But, you know, better to be prepared for when the day comes and not get blindsided by it. Because I have a lot of DVDs, and 20 terabytes can hold a lot. So, yeah. Also, yes, I gave money to the Pokemon gods. I paid for a Switch 2 version of Pokemon Leaf Green. I'm not proud of it, but you know what? Sometimes I want to start the morning on a good note and just play through a Gen 3 Pokemon game because I can. Also, fuck you. I got a Pikachu in Viridian Forest on the first encounter in there, so fuck you, fight me.
You know what? Maybe I will. Wait. Let me double check the charts. God, my mind always slips on this. I'll look at it later.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for them to add home compatibility to Z to A.
Yeah. Also, if they do a similar thing for Pokemon Emerald, look, I know what I'm about. I'm going to buy it anyway. Don't look at me like that. I'm weak, okay?
Listen, you're talking to a guy who would gladly pay, like, fucking $30 out of pocket if they put Gale of Darkness as a digital download. But, you know, part of the subscription is nice, too. Seriously, I had no idea the sound I chose. I had to stop myself from making a sound. Like, I was listening through my headphones at work. Discreetly, of course.
Remember, We barely speak English around here. We're not good with languages, period.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
I'm going to get the best of out of the way. I'm still Son's car for me for the moment. I will say, it's not a bad part. Turns out my mom's car, that stopped working too.
What happened this time?
The throttle. It's not working right.
Gosh.
I do have a bit of good news. The part that I needed just to ride today, which is good. You just need to call the guy to help, you know, put it in there so I can actually drive and do stuff again. Because I don't know. Maybe it's me getting older. Because it's like I don't like asking people to ride. I get it as needed, but sometimes it's like, it's like you want to be a bother and all, but it's kind of, I don't know, maybe just me. I just feel like, I don't know. Yeah.
I get that. Like, actually, kind of in the house to some extent, we're all are like that.
Yeah. I'm somebody who's very introverted, but I'm like, I kind of need to, I need to do stuff with, I need to get stuff in. And I'll probably borrow somebody else for it because it'd be like, because sometimes that shit happens. But I'm just getting that the best of out of the way. Interesting stuff. I did rent a movie rent. Well, because I got a $6 Amazon voucher, and I thought, well, guess I'll rent something. I'll spend, $4 on a movie. That one movie, Night Patrol. That's the some sort of horror movie that has Freddie Gibbs, YG, Flying Lotus, and CM Punk, I believe.
Oh yeah, that movie.
Which I'll say this. I heard mixed things about it, but I can say this. If you spend $4 renting it, then you pay the right price for it. It's not bad, but I'm not gonna recommend it to you. I'm not gonna recommend it. It's like there's some good parts. I want to call it vampire cops or whatever the fuck it's trying to be, or something. I don't know. It's like they try to fuck up black people every time. I mean, Freddie Gibbs was funny in there, and I mean I know. It's kind of weird. It's kind of odd seeing Flabby, like Final Lotus, will act. I mean, I know the other thing. I was like, it was something like it'd be on a scale of toasted slash bill. It's a rental, like a very middle of the road rental.
One of those. Fair enough. I don't know, maybe? That really does seem like, yeah, to your point, if you got, like, credits to spend.
Yeah.
But, anyway, as for me, well, like I alluded to earlier, I've just been working my way through Pokemon Legends Z to A. I think I'm just about at the end game. I just got all the tickets I need to take on Grisham of Team Flair Nouveau, though I might still be obsessively doing side quests and hunting down Pokemans. But on a unrelated note, in my various, watchings of random stuff on YouTube, I've been putting on, just on occasion, this one channel that I think is a really neat, called Beefwad. On the off chance you haven't heard of it, I assume a lot of people haven't, but what they do is, they kind of have this interesting channel where they, like, string together, essentially, like, these bootleg broadcasts of, like, we're talking 2000s Adult Swim and even like 90s MTV. So like you can just click on any upload on their channel and it's like, okay, here's an episode of The Boondocks. Here's an episode of Undergrads. Here's some Liquid Television sketches. Here's random commercials that, you know, you probably vaguely remember and will activate cells in your brain. And I don't know. I just think stuff like that is really neat. Just, man, they really don't make TV like this anymore. In every facet.
You know, I think something like that sounds kind of similar because, well, when I went to my, when I went on YouTube, like, there's always videos of them, like you calling at the MTV VMAs, like, back at, in the 90s, back when, you know, music, better music was, will meant something to them. Like, always see, like, videos of, like videos of that, like, yeah, like, okay, I mean, I don't think the same, I don't think the same channel, but, oh, maybe, I don't know, but it's, It reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you can tell, I'm still a very old soul sometimes, even when I try to keep up with the new. But, now with that, with the formalities out of the way, let's move on to, the usual weekly business. And we do got, like, a pretty normal episode, all things considered. So, let's start off with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, put new tunes in your playlist, all that fun stuff. So, let's start right at the top here. So, I've been cracking wise for a while now about how we're in a seeming drought of King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard music. I mean, come on, the past 2 years have literally only had one album apiece. Come on, step it up. You are getting lapped over by Boldy James. I think he dropped something last week!
He did.
Good luck with that, Mark.
Rapper Rome Streets, who I apparently found out was from London? Which I didn't know that based on a serial gun piece, but okay.
Learn something new every day, but getting back on topic, we might be exiting that drought soon, possibly, as we have a newly announced album from King Gizzard's drummer, that is. Heh, psych, gotcha, guys. But, I don't know, I mean, I'll take what we can get. So, the name of the project, Cavs, real name, of course, Michael Kavanaugh, already made his solo debut in 2021, which would have been around the release of the albums Lizard Wizard and Butterfly 3000. See, that was a year that had two albums. What's taking so long, Stu McKenzie? But anyway, Cavs' newest album, Sojourn, is due out April 24th, so for the fuck of it, let's take a look at its lead single, Candiru. This is very much, you know, just on a glance, pure jazz fusion to a T. It definitely has a lot of, like, the hallmarks you might be familiar with if you're really in deep on, like, King Gizzard and their more psychedelic eccentricities. The rhythm overall is built around mainly, like, 7-4 measures. The intro, as it starts off, mixes in hi-hats with, like, intricate tom patterns. Definitely a bit of that unclipped snare in there. The bass similarly rides the groove with some light harmonics mixed in. And, of course, as everything builds, you know, as it gradually goes on, the layers build with these slight psychedelic guitars, various other synthesizer effects, some serene and some more forceful. This combination of instruments just kind of loops the general melody and things with various switch-ups, including at some point, like, this slight polyrhythmic shift where the drums are kind of playing a steady 4-4, but the measures are still in 7-4. It wouldn't be the most complicated thing in the world. I mean, truth be told, it still makes more sense than the average Meshuggah track. But, I mean, hey, if you like yourself some jazz fusion from an Australian dude, this is a pretty alright song.
Yes, this is some pretty good vibe-out music, but I think the Stereo Gum piece about it says it best. This is definitely meant to be listened to from front to back in a full album setting, so maybe. I don't know, I gotta figure out how I'm gonna do albums going forward, because there are a lot of albums, I don't have a whole lot of time, but, you know, I'll just put it on one night and just sort of, you know, listen to it in the background and see what happens.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, this is an instrumental after all, so, I mean, you don't gotta pay too much attention to McKenzie doing weird lyrics about the, I don't know, invading Mars or something. Anyway, moving on to the next track here, looks like the emo heavyweights American Football are back at it again with a newly announced studio album due out May 1st. Their fourth overall, and you guys are never gonna guess what they titled it. That's right, it's self-titled. Never saw it coming. But, yeah, so we got that set for the beginning of May, and first of all, what's that cover art? Like, okay, I know Midwest emo and all, but this goes weirdly hard. Like, it kind of looks like the European box art for the original release of Resident Evil 4. But, you know, aside from that, there is still an actual song here to talk about, fittingly called Bad Moons. And it's a beefy one here at about 8 minutes. It intros on a lot of these, a mix of pianos and harps, kind of like this very new agey sort of thing at first, you know, as it sort of gradually but very subtly segues into the band playing. It takes about a minute before, like, the echoey guitars and drums kind of start, you know, filtering in. And then as it starts gradually building, it sort of lets the actual further momentum kick in at about the 5 minute mark, which you could tell because, like, the last 3 minutes are sans any sort of vocals. So it makes sense then that the instrumental would be, going more all in. Like, the guitar work is more atmospherically dense. The drumming work is that kind of, like, intricate mathiness from, like, their golden days, that type of stuff. And of course, the lyrics are, you know, very depressing and bleak to think about. A lot of references to, you know, being in the dark, as it were, perhaps referencing the narrator having such this strange, profound sense of comfort and freedom in the darkness, as, you know, metaphor for loneliness, that they can't conceive of how it might affect everyone around them. Sometimes the comfort of that type of thing can only last for so long. I'm totally not personally attacked by that in the slightest. But, I mean, solid enough song, especially if you're an American football fan.
Well, right when we need it the most, these guys come back and give us an ode to finding our place in this broken world, even as it crumbles into nothingness. Or at least that's what I took out of it, because that's how my brain works. Also, got some rock solid bass lines hanging out in here. Pretty cool.
Hear, hear. Now, moving on to the next track here, looks like on March 20th, we will get the release of the album You, the latest from hyperpop producer Underscores, who of course has had a pretty noteworthy past couple of years, especially with quite a few collaborations on that last Danny Brown album, some of those being my personal favorites on that record. So, with this new album comes the lead single, Tell Me, parentheses, You Want It. So, as far as the overall sound of the song, we get like a pretty steady triplet groove rhythm kind of driving the song. Of course, there's all these like there's like this very like extensive patchwork of electronic textures, like multi-layer pitch shifted vocal samples, stuttering warble bass synths, more higher pitched crystalline sounds, all coming together, kind of poking their way in and out of the mix, depending on, you know, whatever sounds neat in the moment. And it all overall kind of has like this weirdly melodically pleasing fashion to it all, you know, until about the last 30 seconds ago when things get a bit more glitchy and dissonant. So, yeah, pretty solid song. I'm curious to see how this new album shakes out.
I will agree. Pretty solid track here, and I also really enjoy the production on this one.
All right, so now let's move on to the next track here. As the band, currently known as Sepultura, is in the middle of their farewell tour, it looks like they have one last little set of new songs to offer, courtesy of an EP coming out April 24th titled The Cloud of Unknowing. So, of course, we get at least one taste of the album here so far with a track called The Place. And, I mean, it definitely sounds like a modern-era Sepultura song. It starts off on a pretty slow and steady note, these palm-muted eighth notes, and a simple drum intro, eventually ramping up into a more forceful set of fills, grooves, plenty of beefier chords and distortion. Just kind of writing that for about 4 minutes, and then, of course, in the last two or so, the intensity gradually, you know, it picks up a bit more. Plenty of sweeping solos, D-beats from Mr. Grayson Nate Krutman. It is one of the Sepultura songs of all time.
It sure is. I'm glad Grayson's going to have an album to his name during his time with Sepultura. Or, you know, whatever you want to call this band called Sepultura. Well, as for the track, I mean, it's fine. It's an all right song, but it's just sort of there and doesn't do much else. It exists, like Applebee's. Also, moment of silence for the Pineville, North Carolina Applebee's. It is gone, and it will probably be forgotten.
Rest in peace. Anyway, moving on.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Well, anyway.
That's what you get for whatever the hell the OM cheeseburger was supposed to be. I do not understand.
So it's just a burger, with cheese that's cut in half?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mentioned that because I was just driving around there the other night and I noticed the signs were gone. So, yeah. You probably won't be missed, Applebee's. Your food isn't that great anyway.
Yeah, I'm more of a Friday's Chili's guy.
And speaking of things that aren't that great anyway.
Yeah, so let's move on to our last track here.
Unfortunately, it is the biggest mid that ever did mid.
So, remember Sway Lee?
No.
Okay. Okay, so remember maybe not a long time ago, you heard of Ray Shrimmer. You heard of their songs that they're not that good. And you heard that, a couple years back, actually, made that 8 years back. Holy shit. They did a triple album, basically doing their own Outkast with an album from Sway Lee, one from his mostly forgotten brother Slim Jimmy, but two of them together, and then it's like no one really gave a shit anymore. It's like after Ray Shrimmer, like I think they did Trim 4, and no one gave a shit. Or maybe they did, but no, I don't know. Like they haven't heard since. Well,
I just want to say, like, I was actually looking this up out of curiosity. I'm like, I'm amazed at, like, for as big as they started, I'm amazed at how little juice their discography had, like, towards the tail end of the decade and, like, the 2020s. Like, Slim Jimmy hasn't done shit on his own. And if you look at Sway Lee's discography on Wikipedia, you know, like, where it shows what the chart positions are supposed to be, it's just dashes. Dashes all over the place. No momentum in sight. The idea that they were ever relevant almost feels like this weird fever dream that we were all just hallucinating.
Okay, so we had a new album coming out called Same Difference. We don't know when it's gonna come out. I don't know. It says Sway Lee Sway. Okay, wait, they not get this. And I don't know, and you got this new joint called Flammable. Which is, I was going to say this. Wow, this sure is a Sway Lee song from 2018, or at least, or 19 or 17, or basically, it's not like any other generic, I would say trap song, except not really, it's more going to the rage rap direction, which, okay, I forgot that was a thing. It's like he's either rapping or singing or just doing some shit. I'm just gonna say that this shit did not stick with me that much. Like, there's a reason why, like, well, this episode, I'm talking about this song and not the others, although I probably should listen to that Underscores one. That actually sound better. As there's a clip of that, that sound better. This one's just like, oh, it's the same shit we survived during the mid-2010s. That's it. With a touch of the 2020s, but other than that, this shit is kind of boring. I don't give a shit. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, it's very easy to not give a shit, and listening to this, I kind of realized why I never got into this guy or his brother, Slim Shady, or whatever his name is. It's his damn prepubescent ass voice. It is just not commanding in the slightest. Not one bit. Also, do you think that his brother, what's his name, is he getting work? Where is Mike Wilmeda? Can he get this guy some work?
Mike Wilmeda still gets work. Maybe not as much. Just Medusa, and that's it. But yeah,
last time we heard from him, he's been working with Chief Keef and Coi Leray.
Oh, yeah, that's the fucking Benzino's daughter.
Wait, isn't Coi Leray like Wait, isn't she like dime store Megan Thee Stallion?
Sort yeah, you fuck it, yeah.
Yeah, so these two pretty much said it better than I could. Like, my exact thought is, like, maybe this beat would work better if there were any other rapper. But, like, Sway Lee is trying to sell this as, like, you know, hype and fire, but the man does not have the flow for it at all.
The guy has a voice of a goddamn 12-year-old. Doesn't work.
Even still, which is fucking wild. Ugh. Yeah, that basically about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we actually have a few bits of news. So, stay tuned. And we're back. So, we have three news topics to discuss here. Let's start right at the top. So, we have an announcement coming from, you know, the vestiges of social media that isn't a great one, per se. So, you know, obviously in the aftermath of Every Time I Die imploding, it's very clear that the band Better Lovers got the better end of the deal. By which I mean they were able to write killer Every Time I Die-esque music without the annoying Jesus-tinged passive aggression of Keith Buckley post Every Time I Die. Jesus Christ, I am still mad about that album. Many Eyes, what the fuck? But, it appears that there are some shifts going on in the Better Lovers camp, as it was recently announced that the band is parting ways with vocalist Greg Pucciato. Not really a whole lot of information. Everyone was just kind of like, what happened? What happened? Was it bad? Was it bad? Was shit going down? But then later on, Pucciato posted an Instagram story, you know, sharing the band's, you know, post, and just pretty straightforwardly elaborating, quote, "No bad blood. Everyone's cool. Don't speculate. Love these people and love the band. Rooting for them collectively and individually. Thanks to everyone for making the last few years special. Long live the frog." Now, this, of course, like, seems, you know, pretty straightforward. Like, there's not a lot to explain. Not to mention, it seems like the timing works out rather well, since Pucciato was going on an anniversary tour with one of his other projects, reviving the Black Queen. So, you know, he's obviously got stuff going there. But, you know, the internet is as the internet does, and people were still, like, you know, going into Uber fucking conspiracy mode about all of it, which forced, you know, Pucciato to release a follow-up statement, which basically amounted to, "Bitch, did I fucking stutter? There is no hidden meaning, you weird Da Vinci Code-ass motherfuckers." Okay, maybe not in those exact words, but the sentiment was the same.
Yeah. I guess, you know, sometimes things just happen with bands, and sometimes, you know, one door closes and another door opens, or however the saying goes. No idea what this means for the future of Better Lovers, though. I guess they're going to try and find a new singer, or whatever the deal is. We don't know yet, but, yeah. Still a bummer.
Yeah. We'll, see what happens. Man, it's really wild to think where all these tangents are going. Like, okay, Better Lovers, the instrumentalist from Every Time I Die, Many Eyes, vocalist, Greg Pucciato, now off doing his own things. Meanwhile, the Dillinger reunion, I'm pretty sure, is still going with Dimitri and everything. So, yeah, a lot of shreds just kind of like spreading out like spider webs. But also, yeah, sometimes some of y'all just need to take things at face value. Yeah. But I guess that doesn't drive engagement on Instagram or whatever, so what the fuck do I know? But, let's move on to the next topic here, as it is that time of year. We have the nominees for induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for the year 2026. So, we got about 17 nominees in this list, and perhaps most notably, 10 of those are first-time nominees. Those first-time nominations are Jeff Buckley, The Wu-Tang Clan, Lauryn Hill, Luther Vandross, Pink, Shakira, INXS, New Edition, Melissa Etheridge, and solo Phil Collins, which is noteworthy because he technically is already included as a part of Genesis being inducted. So, you know, that's two inductions that he could be getting. As for the other artists that have been nominated but passed over in various years, there's, oh boy, the Gallaghers. You know, that would be an amazing idea. Imagine them getting nominated and then fist fighting each other at the induction ceremony. I might pay for that. But, yeah, there's them. There's also Iron Maiden, Mariah Carey, Sade, Billy Idol, the Black Crowes, and Joy Division and New Order. So, yeah, those are noteworthy nominees. You know, Neat for Iron Maiden. You know, the funny thing is, we were listening to a bunch of Shakira the other day, just kind of falling down a rabbit hole of, hey, these songs are turning, like, fucking 20 years old this year. And God, there was so much Shakira. Back in the days. Shakira, you know, when Kingdom Hearts 2 was new.
Yeah. Back in those much more innocent, naive times. To be honest, I'm at the point now where I kind of really don't care either way about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's a cool thing, but, you know, at this point, does it really matter in the end? Like, people are going to go in or in, so that, you know, that's cool. Also, just reading this piece off of Stereo Gum, some snubs mentioned here because 25 years is eligibility. This piece mentioned here, courtesy of one or both Tom Brayon and Scott LaPatine at Stereo Gum. The Strokes, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Gorillaz, John Mayer, Alicia Keys, and, quote, technically solo J. Dilla.
Okay, I agree with some of those snubs.
I'm just reading what's on the page here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Dilla, Gorillaz, I'm, you know, pro those, but guys, the Strokes only really have 1.5 good albums. What are y'all even talking about?
Julian Casablancas was a mistake.
That's like one banger in an ocean of eh.
Yeah, so, yeah, cool, whatever. We'll find out who's actually going to get in next month, and they'll have the ceremony, you know, later on in the year. So, cool, I suppose.
I will say the one thing I'm looking forward to is people saying how, why are they in there? They're not rock and roll. They're not that shit. They're like, man, shut the fuck up. And that really goes to Mr. fucking Gene Simmons.
What I want to say about Gene Simmons would get me in trouble, so I'm just gonna say, yes, please shut the fuck up, permanently.
And you know, same thing go to the fucking Younger Brothers too, because they talk shit about hip hop too, so fuck them too, which is you know.
We're all fighting over something that really doesn't matter all that much. But let's move on to the final news topic here, which is technically music related, but it's also a bit of a gaming announcement, as it were. Which, I mean, there's been a lot of you know, stuff happening in gaming recently. You know, the new Resident Evil came out and seems to be reviewing pretty well. Whole lot of Pokemon announcements. I'm very much looking forward to Pawbon's final evolution. I swear to God, if they make it a fire fighting type. You know, just pretty decent things going on. Also, Microsoft royally shitting the bed in every conceivable way. But that's neither here nor there. And there's this one pretty interesting announcement, at least from a certain angle. So, last year, in 2025, a new-ish game studio opened under the courtesy of the Embracer Group, as it were, called Red Octane Games LLC. Now, I say new in quotation marks because that name is technically a carryover from the 2000s, as it was one of the entities involved in the rhythm game boom of the 2000s, working on the various Guitar Hero games alongside Harmonix. Now, the studio only really lasted through about 2010, with World Tour being their last game. But now, several former staff members of the original Red Octane, as well as staff members of Vicarious Visions, are joining together in this new incarnation. And they've announced their debut project, a new rhythm game called Stage Tour, which is due out sometime for later this year. Now, the announcement came with a trailer that's only about, like, a minute, mainly built around a Static X song, which is a choice. And I'm sitting here wondering what it is I even really think about this. Because, like, obviously, as someone who was in middle school in the mid-2000s, Guitar Hero games consumed a great deal of my time and my parents' money. Yeah. But, of course, you know, obviously, I have a lot of fond memories of all that. But one of the things you have to remember is that it was a lot. I don't just mean financially. I guess technically I do. But also just, like, fucking saturated. Like, let me convey my train of thought to you. So, I was trying to remember what the last Guitar Hero game even was. And I was like, I think I vaguely remember it was called, like, Guitar Hero Live or something. I was like, ah, yeah, didn't that come out, like, what, like 5-6 years ago when we were all in lockdown or whatever? And then I went to double check, and that was 2015. And that was 5 years, like, after the fucking pure saturation. Like, I need you to keep in mind, we had 14 Guitar Hero games in the span of 5 to 6 years. And that's not including stuff like DJ Hero or Band Hero. And you want to know where I dropped off? Guitar Hero World Tour. I never played 5. I never played Warriors of Rock. I didn't play the Van Halen one, really. And I definitely didn't play Guitar Hero Live, but then again, who the fuck did? And that's not including whatever the hell was going on with Rock Band, which, like, that, I was just content to stick on 2 because, like, God, they would just not stop pumping out DLC. But, yeah, obviously, like, we all needed a break. And things eventually, like, leveled out. Like, obviously, there weren't a lot of new games. But, of course, anybody who spent any amount of time on gaming YouTube knows that Clone Hero is the gift that keeps on giving. Because you can not only have, like, any tracks you want, but you can also just throw weird meme shit posts in there, like Shrek, or perhaps one of my favorite gaming YouTube videos of all time, Master of Puppets, but every time they say Master, it gets faster, by Jay Paradise. Comedy, yeah, gold.
There was a lot of good stuff there, and that's kind of how we got to this point, because things like Clone Hero and Yarg, yet another rhythm game that's basically more like Rock Band compared to Guitar Hero, those have very, very active online communities. And, you know, things happen. Some folks get together and they start to go, can we? And through that, I have 2 requests. Number one, just make this a one-time thing and add stuff, you know, to it over time. Don't be like the days from 2008 to 2009 where we had like a dozen different games and spin-offs and side, you know, expansions. And number two, please, please do not suck. Please.
We've been
wanting this for a good long time. This is your one chance. Please don't blow it.
Yeah, that's where my fingers are crossed because, like, okay, first of all, these peripherals don't look too bad because, like, the thing we're looking at is also showing, like, some of the branded Stage Tour interfaces. And, you know, they look pretty neat. But also, like, the viability of this pitch because, like, what I want to know is what exactly could, say, a new official rhythm game production offer that you couldn't exactly get from a Clone Hero? Like I said, like, Clone Hero is not just, like, very popular. Like, there's also, like, people who do, like, modded versions of Rock Band. Like, I've gone to my fair share of conventions, and one thing they almost always have in, like, the game room is, like, a modded version of Rock Band that has, like, you know, fucking anime OPs and shit. Or they'll even have, like, those fucking Guitar Hero arcade machines. Like, I think those might still be active in, like, Dave and Buster's and stuff. It's been a hot minute, so I'd
have
to check.
They are.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, shit, Dave and Buster's. I think I ain't been in a long ass time.
Now, what I can tell you is that compared to, you know, games like Clone Hero and Yarg, think about those games. Those are not only freeware, they're also not licensed. You have to put your own music, you have to put your own charts and songs in there without any licensing. So here you have a game that can offer licensing and can be sold, and that money can go back to the devs and the artists and what have you. And I'd much rather give my money to this than Fortnite Festival. No, thank you.
Oh, God, right. I forgot that's a thing.
And I don't really want to give Epic Games any money because Tim Sweeney can suck my ass.
You know, I just thought of something.
Noted.
Like, you know, like, if this game were to be, like, real and, well, let's say, well, can you play this on, well, can somebody stream this on Twitch because, I don't know, they tend to not do the copyright thing, and like, you know, if you stream a copyright song, they'd be like, nope, strike, your nope, strike, fuck off your band. Or, nope, strike, like, basically, like that shit. It's like, that's why you play a video game, you keep playing no, you know, actual, you know, licensed music, or you gotta get, well, fucked.
Well, that's more a problem with YouTube than Twitch. Twitch is at the point now where they kind of don't care. YouTube, however, they care a little too much.
Yeah. And yeah. Speaking on the Riven game, I ain't say much to considering. Well, this kind of predictable, at least for me. The only Riven game I played before is, well, 2 DJ Heroes. That's it. Just the first one, and the second one, because. Hey,
Those were fun too.
Those were fun too. And it's most of my like it's just down. It's getting the remix song. So like, oh, I can get this song. I can play this song and still do some songs. Some were Mr. Master, especially everything from the fucking Scratch Perverts, which my fucking fingers. Damn.
Yeah, so this is certainly something that's on all our radars. Again, please don't suck. Although I just realized I'm probably gonna have to shell out for instruments. I have zero fucking clue what the wherever the fuck my old Guitar Hero shit may be. I don't know, maybe it got like dumped out on the curb when I moved out. But yeah, so fingers crossed Red Octane can make this work. I am full well prepared to go back. So, that'll about do it for the news discussion, and that just leaves one last thing for the sign-off, and that is the new album releases for the week of March 6th, 2026. Starting at the top, we have the release of Denzel Curry's new click, The Scythe, with Strictly for the Scythe. From Flying Lotus, we have his newest EP, Big Mama, which is apparently his first on his own label.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, kind of weird that, wow, you're beautiful on your own label since you've been with Warp all these years, but okay.
Anyway, there's the new Ty Dolla $ign album, Girl Music Volume 1. Motherfucker, what girls are still listening to your music? Be fucking for real. Anyway, from singer Bonnie Prince Billy, the new album We Are Together Again. From throat singer Tanya Tagak, her new album Sabu Gigi. From Charlie Puth, there was unfortunately a new album, Whatever's Clever, with an exclamation point. Who the hell's that excited about your music in 2026? Be for real. From Harry Styles, a new project, Kiss All the Time, Disco Occasionally.
What the fuck is this?
And finally on the list, yeah, that's that. I don't know what you want me to tell you, that he thought that was a good idea for a name. And finally, we have an album called Atlanta, which is the first new album in almost two decades, and allegedly the final studio album from the music duo Gnarls Barkley.
Yeah, I was shocked by this too. Like, okay, man, I'm gonna go. You're back here. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Plus, isn't CeeLo Green kind of in the gutter right now because of like the SCA stuff?
Yeah, it's a hell
of a point to try a career comeback with that. But who knows? Maybe he can make it work. So yeah, that about does it for that, and now time to sign off. Alex, you know where to find us at. It's all up in the description. You all know how to read. Mark, what about you?
Of course, mind the hyperone.com, where I post on shit. Also, Blue Sky, Instagram, and my type of media. Yeah, that's it.
And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to, follow the website on Blue Sky at surrealresolution.bluesky. The URL, surrealresolution.com, where you'll find written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. And, of course, a link to our Discord so you can join in, chill, debate Pokemon stuff. You know, whatever it is people in the 30s usually do on Discord servers. So, thank you for tuning in this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business and hopefully the first official roundup of 2026 sometime next week. So, until then, no thoughts, head empty, only Pombon.